The House Committee on Professional Responsibility will come to order, and we're considering 2530. And our first witness.
My name is Henry Speckman. I'm here in the Catholic Club on behalf of the Catholic Club this evening. My office, my Oregon State Pharmaceutical Association is at 459 High Street, South Asian Fair. The committee, consisting of Dick Allen, Ward Armstrong, Doug Hyder, Tom Cameron, Tom Donovan, Dave Nelson, and myself, met with some of the representatives of the Common Cause prior to the meeting last Monday night and discussed the House Bill 2530. It became apparent that there were differences that we couldn't reconcile in the meeting. So as a result of this, our committee met and we have come up with a proposal that we have put before you tonight. On page 2, we're amending out, on line 2, disclosure and repealing. We're replacing that repealing with amending. We're also amending out 171.760 and 171.770. These are on line 3, and providing penalties. After line 5, where it says being enacted by the people of the state of Oregon, we're inserting section 1. Section 2, 5 to 8, and 10 of this act are added to and made part of ORS 171.755 to 171.775. In line 6, we change the section 1 to section 2. We go down as far as line 11, where it says, and to executive officials. And then we strike from there, where it begins the legislative assembly. We strike all the rest of page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, 8, and we leave one section of page 9 in. In lieu of that which we have amended out, we are inserting as section 3, ORS 171.755 is amended to read. And then we go on with lobbying means influencing or attempting to influence the passage or defeat of a measure by the legislative assembly or the approval or veto thereof by the governor or attempting to influence other executive branch action or inaction regarding passage, defeat, or veto of a measure. 2. Lobbyist means. Any person who agrees to provide his personal services for money or any other consideration for the purpose of lobbying.
Does that take in, whoops, maybe you got it. Yeah, okay, you got it. You got it.
Section B.
Interrupt these committee people anytime you want to.
Any person, including a public employee who lobbies as a regular part of his employment. C. Any person who provides his personal services without compensation as a representative of a corporation, association, organization, or other group for the purpose of lobbying, but does not include persons who receive no compensation and who limit their lobbying activities solely for formal appearances to give testimony before public sessions of committees of legislative assemblies or public hearings of state agencies and who registers their appearance in the records of such committees or agencies.
Excuse me. Where are you having your problem? In what section with the Capital Club?
Well, in this section, you would have an exemption for people who are not paid for services and who would spend less than $25 or $50 per reporting session on
Well, what about the aggregate, in the aggregate? Would go back to our Right to Life Committee?
Well, now our thinking was that anybody that
well, I was trying to find your main area of disagreement with the Capital Club.
Well, in terms of this bill, it's hard to say yes. Because
yeah, I understand that. Okay, but I thought you'd talk to you and have you too.
Yeah, we can.
Where
so far,
is?
So far, no major difference here. The major differences, I think, are in expenditure reporting.
Okay.
Section 4, Section 4, ORS 175.755 is amended to read, before engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register with the legislative administrator by filing with him a statement containing the following information: the name and address of the registrant, the name and address of the person by whom the registrant is employed or in whose interest he appears or works, and a designation by that person that the lobbyist is officially authorized to lobby for that person. 2, the designation of official authorization to lobby shall be signed by an officer of the corporation, association, organization, or other group, or by the individual by whom the registrant is employed or in whose interest he appears or works. 3, the statement referred to in subsection 1 of this section shall be filed by a lobbyist before each session of the legislative assembly during which he lobbies.
Time. What if a bill comes up in the middle of the session?
Well, we have discussed that, and we feel that where we say that before engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist must do this, must file this. Now, the thing that has had us somewhat hung up was that one statement you made. In the back, in that sub 3 that I just read, it says before the session of the legislative, and that's the purpose of putting that in, is to try and clean up the list so that we don't have an accumulative list every 2 years and just keep adding additional names and never getting rid of some who are no longer representing people down here.
Would you not start fresh each session?
Each session we would start fresh.
Well, then that would take care of cleaning up a back list, would it not?
I think it would, Representative Ingram, and I think that the reason that that we put this in was to try and get the list done right now when people come down. Although there is a regulation as to filing, some people do not file until considerably into the session.
Well, I don't think it would work, Henry. If, for instance, I didn't see these common cause people until we were halfway through the session. Maybe they were working subversively someplace, but were you?
Chairman, could we just have
why not just take the word before out? Because it continues each session of the legislative assembly during which he lobbies. Filed by a lobbyist, each session of the legislative, I don't think you need anything, just take before out.
Make it prior to any lobbying activity?
Yeah, that's better. That's better. How about that?
Prior to any lobbying activity?
Could be filed by a lobbyist prior to any lobbying activities.
do just what we were saying.
Just interrupt, because we're all just working on this thing.
Is this just a work session on
yes.
something which might be proposed amendments, or are these amendments before the committee in the sense that they're removed and
no, this is just a work session on a possible substitute. We haven't seen him before tonight either, Dave.
That's the matter, isn't it? If you're looking at him right now, that's his inability to be with us today.
Okay.
Section 5. Any lobbyist who engages in any lobbying activities during any session of the legislative assembly shall file with the legislative administrator, not later than 30 days after the end of the session, a statement showing the total amount of all monies expended by the lobbyist for the purpose of lobbying during the session. 2. Any lobbyist who influences or attempts to influence any of the official functions of the legislative assembly or any committee thereof during a time when the legislative assembly is not in session shall file with the legislative administrator not later than January 15th of the year following the year in which influencing activities were carried on a statement showing the total amount of all monies that were not previously reported pursuant to subsection 1 of this section that were expended during such previous years for the purpose of such influencing activities. 3. Statements required by this section may not include amounts received by the lobbyist for personal living expenses or amounts received by him as income and salary. If the amount of any expenditure required to be included in the statement is not accurately known at the time the statement is required to be filed, an estimate thereof shall be submitted in the statement.
Is this where you people are having problems?
Yeah. And this, what we are attempting to do, we're attempting to insert into the deal that which we feel money is expended for actually lobbying. We do not feel that the expenses or the salary is part of the lobbying process. I can receive the same salary whether you're in session or not in session. And most of the people are in the same type of situation.
What about personal living expenses? If you take me out to dinner, which you haven't offered to do, in spite of the fact this bill's for it, is that a personal living?
When he takes you out.
No.
Yeah, when you, excuse me.
We consider that as a lobbying expense. What we're talking about in the present world, for example, some of these people that are office in Portland have to move down here and live during
you're talking about out of towners via the people who reside in Salem.
We think that the expense comes in the actual entertainment of the lobbying activity.
Okay.
Which is not the same as the lobbying activity.
Okay.
Which is coming for us in Africa. And section, subsection 2 of this section is directed to cover the time the interim committee, when there's not in session, so that if anybody expends any money during that time, they would be considered in file. We had to put in this one part of the statement in 3. The amount of the expenditure required to include it is not accurately known. You'd be surprised at how lax some of these places are in spending the bill. I know of one man that hasn't had a bill from one of the local places in 3 months. Concerning this, he keeps talking to the manager and keeps telling him that he bills and hasn't been billed yet. So we're trying to protect in case that this type of a happening. And I will tell you, used to be quite famous for this, for getting his bills to us late so that if 30 days had fired and we didn't know it, we wanted to be sure that somebody wasn't picked up as not having to file a problem.
Is this a rationale for the hotel burning down, or is this?
some people are called that word.
I don't like that word estimate in it.
But we didn't need the word.
We get an awful lot of estimates.
What we were trying to get at, I've done earlier, is the area that I'm talking about where we don't know.
doesn't identify that this is going to be only in the event that at the filing date that you don't have them. It just says an estimate there. So you could say,
well, we have just 50 amount of any standard required to be included in the statement is not accurately known at the time. The statement required to be filed is an estimate there for the in the statement.
You don't go on to say that a supplementary statement will be filed?
No, we don't. We do have a statement that as of January the 15th, a statement will be filed for any expenditures not already reported, so it would be picked up in that one.
Henry, when you take Peg out to dinner, can't you ask for a duplicate of the bill?
Can't you ask for one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm talking about is those which do charge. Most of us have a charge.
That's what I mean.
And what they do, of course, is we get, theoretically, we're supposed to be billed every month. For example, I have an account maybe at the Pepper Tree. I get billed sometimes at the 15th of the month or the following month before I get my bill.
Yeah, but my point is, each night that you go to the Pepper Tree, you expand a certain amount of charge account. How do they know what to put on their books unless some waitress writes it down?
Oh, she does.
All right, then why couldn't you get a duplicate of that?
Because usually what happens is when they send the statement, they include that duplicate listing, the bill that they send you.
Kind of like a minute at the purpose of this thing. Is it to let the public know what kind of money is being spent during the session to influence legislation? Isn't that what the purpose of it is? Well, if we do everything subsequent to the session, then the public only knows how they were taken during the session. But it's too late to do anything about it. Isn't that a possibility?
Well, George, keep talking. I don't accept that about that. The reason we're in the logic concept. Try and read the expense accounts of lobbyists and determine who they're influencing and who they're not. I never have been able to accept that concept. I don't think it's even realistic. Primary concern is. Be able to have access to records that show what the lobby, what individual interest groups are expending at the legislature.
But while it's in session?
During or after the legislature.
The interest group staff requires bi-weekly reporting. They're not removing it because they have a dead office that since the legislative session is once every 2 years. The time to influence legislation is managed by anyone at the time when it's occurring. It's inconceivable that if a public group wishes to mobilize when it suddenly finds that large amounts of money are being spent for certain purposes, it has to know during the session. The monthly reporting, regular monthly reporting during legislative session, is a very common feature in state legislation on the subject. It's just something being cleaned up in order to make life more comfortable.
Okay, then how?
I don't see why month-to-month is not fair.
What? How do you suggest we attack the problem that Henry brings out about not being able to get bills from the maestros?
Well, I think that the provision here for estimates is very simple.
it doesn't bother you any.
You don't think that could be overused? That
well, if they have to be one of the things based upon the law that it is on the book that requires verified reports, it seems to me that someone pulls out this on a dead basis.
Well, if we put this on a once-a-month basis, though, then we would assume that, I mean, if they have to file by the first of the month, any bill that they would receive after the first of the month would go on the next filing on the next first of the month.
Well,
so there wouldn't have to be a need for an estimate if we have ongoing type of reporting. If we're talking about a monthly reporting system, anything that they would come in on the 15th of the month, they would automatically report it as if they received the bill and pay it, and they would automatically report it on the first of the next.
Well, Peg, I'm not sure you read section one,
well,
right.
I'm not
because
reading from here anyhow.
Oh, you're reading.
I mean, I'm not going by what's here. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if we had a monthly reporting system.
How would you like a monthly reporting system?
Well, we were talking, he said, down in California, they have a
bi-weekly,
and I was saying that perhaps we should think of a monthly reporting system rather than a 30 days, not later than 30 days after the end of the session.
You're asking me, is it
mm-hmm.
we see no need for the bill, frankly, but if they want something, then I could only speak for myself. You know, we have an organization that we take everything back to. If you have it in front of you, I can't speak for the organization. I would be certainly happy to tell them this is what they're up against, what they feel about that.
What do you think, Ike? Do you have any thoughts on that? Did you report monthly?
I would rather not.
They would have a far more difficult time than we would.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm by myself. He has probably four or five different people that he would have to get reports in from. AFL CIO would have quite a few that they would have to get the reports in from. They're the ones that would have more difficulty.
I think when we go through the bill and really try to put it together, that's one of the things we will be considering, so you might check it out with the Capital Fund. Dave, did you say you didn't object to Section 5 the way it was? You're not asking for monthly reports?
We are.
You are? Okay. in that section, I firmly believe the lobbyists should be protected from the legislature. And I just wonder if maybe that shouldn't work both ways in either that section or another one. And I'm not being critical of any particular political party because both parties have been guilty. And I just kind of feel that the pressure should not be put on the lobbyists as it has been in the past to raise money for various causes. And unless the committee has opinions to the contrary, would you draft legislation or try it out on the committee to that effect?
Part of it.
Why not?
Should that be part of it?
Well, this is where we're talking about lobbyists.
You're even talking about the activities of legislators. That belongs in the other bill.
Maybe.
I think that would be in the conflict of interest.
Okay. Okay, then. But I'd still like to, if you have time, you draft it, and we'll try it out on the committee for the other bill then. I don't like legislators putting pressure on lobbyists for money for a particular cause, or to sell tickets and this sort of thing. I think maybe it should be all the time. It's just as repugnant to me at one time as it is another. Sending them tickets and say, send back $250 or $500 or whatever.
How about saying would you like to buy some tickets? Is that considered pressure?
I think you could. I don't know.
Well, that's a
cost
in the other bill. We're not discussing that now, anyhow.
That's the problem. I don't know. Maybe we can see if we can work something out.
Section 7, each report, registration, and statement required by ORS 171.755 to 171.775 shall be signed and certified as true and correct by the person required to submit it. 2. Each person required to submit a report, registration, and statement by ORS 171.755 and 171.775 shall submit a report, registration, and statement that substantially conforms to law and to the truth.
Well,
what's substantially mean, George?
I don't think that's a very good phrasing, frankly.
That's right out of the new election law revision.
Is it?
Last year. that's the thing that all the candidates.
And what does that mean then?
Well, the substantially conforms to the law is intended to cover that situation where you have got your campaign
Is that an accepted word in the law?
I think so. This prevents it from being disliked by the crime.
Okay, now the last phrase, and to the truth. Do we need that on there?
You know, there are two different things that are being asked. One is that the report the things that the law tells you to report, and the other is to report the truth.
Well, that's what it says in the law.
To a layman, that sure sounds lose.
Get rid of notaries and all that.
Would this the one suffice?
Well, I like sub one standing alone better than I do with sub two underneath it. That's what he's saying. Should we just eliminate two and leave one standing alone?
I think Chuck was explaining to us, but I think he said that the sub one deals with the signing and sub two deals with the report.
Each report, registration, and statement required shall be signed and certified as true.
We would have no objection to throwing two out.
What have you lost by throwing two out? Dave, do you
I don't think it would be anything because if you're told in the first instance to submit the report, you don't need to be told in subsection two to submit it again or it's not true.
Well,
that implies it wasn't true.
Certified as true and correct.
Yeah. I think the first one is all right if we're going to. George says we're getting away from certificates and affidavits, but. You object?
Certified.
Well, George, doesn't one stand alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me, but what do we do about substantially conforms to law?
No, we're taking the whole sub 2 out.
We're taking everything out.
You wouldn't need that phrase in sub 1 then?
No. Because he has to certify it as true and correct.
A lot of
tells him
it has to be in the report.
That's what makes it correct.
Mm-hmm.
Section 8, all information submitted to the legislative administrator in any report, registration, statement required by ORS 171.755 is in public record. Section 9,
public record. Yeah, maybe that. Is that the one we just amended?
Yes, it's the one that's 21.
I think maybe we ought to add that. Is the public record as what?
As the public record pursuant to chapter
1. Pursuant is the verb, I think. Okay, what have you said up there above?
Well, in addition, there's any penalties from false signing or anything else that anybody violates any of the provisions of the Senate has the right to sanction the individual, but they all should be treated alike if the offense. If I did something and I'm
You're not talking about violation of statute. You're talking about violations of rules of the House or Senate or something like that, or what are you talking about? Oh, we're talking about violations of this. In addition to violation of subsection 2 of section 7 is a misdemeanor?
Yeah. Which court is out now.
Yeah. The legislature do that by a vote of both houses or each house? Or?
I don't know. We have our rules to take care of.
Yeah, I think each house would do it by their own rules.
It's under the present law, isn't it? Just in the
judiciary committee with all those laymen on it. Who wants to be tried by a jury of his peers? I'd rather be tried by professionals.
How do you feel, George?
Should there be something in there to protect members of the minority party? Violation of Section 7, wouldn't that remain in, though? Just take out subsection 2, or would it?
I don't know why.
Hmm?
I made a comment on that. Now, if you use subsection 2 of section 7, and look at the penalty section, it's a violation of subsection 1. The penalty would be for failure to sign the report.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, then maybe we've got to get submit into that subsection 1 in there someplace, don't we? Each lobbyist shall submit. Each report refers back up to where now?
Each report needs all those things that we've been talking about.
Way back.
Yeah.
But doesn't that cover the whole thing? As George has said, any violation of this act?
We have to write it in there. Because sub 2 of 7, which we have deleted, says that you have to conform substantially to the law.
Yeah. Why don't you just... You just say violation of this 1973 act is a misdemeanor. Doesn't that take care of the whole thing?
Well, because you'd want to refer probably to just certain sections of the act. It would be a misdemeanor.
Chuck, Can you ferret out those things that ought to be a misdemeanor for us? I'm not sure. What do you think, George? Do you think that?
I think that would be probably the thing that would be done more than action.
In other words, we jerk the guy's license.
Or that he can't come around for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that would be a more effective thing.
Has no effective date on it at all, does it? Well, that's something the committee will discuss in its collective wisdom. Back in section 3, sub 1, you speak to influencing executive action or ballot measures. And then that's the last reference to anything outside of the legislature that I recall. Is there any, do either of those two matters need further discussion? This is restricted solely then to legislative action. Yeah, I guess you're right. Passage, defeat, or veto of a measure. I'd like to point out to the committee that I was the only member who voted for 7:30 meetings.
In the original bill, we talked about lobbying, for instance, division heads on decisions that were made. Did we get into that.
Where is that?
Of division heads. I know it. It is interesting. For instance, if they're going to buy a new fleet of cars, I know, I can't think of a good answer.
Yeah, that's, boy, that's hard to...
cover that.
Well, yeah, but he's talking about executive department personnel, or like the head of the Department of Human Resources may show up at a hearing, but or, well, a more practical thing is purchase of subcompact cars. And the head of goes around, and General Services goes around and talks to all the members of Ways and Means. Boy, that's awfully hard to... Yeah, I think that might cover it. The only...
But would he have to file that also?
Mm-hmm.
You differentiate between doing their official job and promoting their own interests. For the stage.
It's really part of their job to try and get the best thing they can for their own agency. Everybody knows it. Some secret. If they were to accept money, separate money for it, or be employed for that purpose alone, I could see it, but not whether it's just merely an agency personnel coming over to give testimony on bills or have copies in the shop. It doesn't mean just what a lot of them do.
this every 2 years, it's a tougher job. Norma, what do you think about that public employee thing?
The whole basis of this is to inform the public, Dave said, of what efforts special interest groups might be making to influence legislation. I don't see how that has any applicability to the state agency. Are you, Dave?
No, for that.
I think the consensus of the committee is to take that out.
Anybody disagree? Well, on the other hand, I agree with that wholeheartedly. You don't know who it was. Yeah. That's part of the shield law. Okay, now how, in this bill as it is here, are we reaching the organizations? How are we making Right to Life register?
Well, we say any person who provides a person service provides a
All right, now, who has to register? Just the one lobbyist? Just for common cause? Just Dave or Bill or who registers for common cause? Anybody who's going to appear before the committee?
Any person who agrees to provide his personal services, the money, or any other consideration for the purpose of lobbying.
Well, I'm trying to. Maybe it's in here, but I'm trying to find out. And since Common Cause is here, how many of these people who have been appearing before the committee from Common Cause would have to register? And then I want to contradistinct that with the people who show up for the Right to Life organization, and maybe 20 of them speak before a committee on a particular bill.
It would be my understanding that and this is, again, the area that we've had a difficult time. I don't think that you can get all of those people who appear before the committee and make them. I think that the one designated by the organization would be the one, I would assume.
That's sub 2 of section 4.
Well, the term doesn't be covered because he's in two parts, really. Any person who provides a personal service without compensation as a representative of any group is a lobbyist. And the second part is if he doesn't receive compensation and limits his appearance to formal appearances, then he's out for money. You have 20 people down here from Right to Life, and they are merely down here without compensation, but limit their appearances to formal appearances before the committee. They would not apply. But if they do go further than that, if they are actually out talking to individual lobbyists, then they'd have to be registered. That's the way you read it, Dave?
That's the way I read it. But we're talking about the private citizen who belongs to Common Cause. Common Cause has their lobbyists down here, and they have filed. Now, some member of Common Cause supports.
Yeah, but isn't that private citizen a representative?
But on his own, he comes down here to lobby for this bill or some other bill. And he sits there at the table and he gives his testimony. Fine. And we're also saying that he cannot knock on my door?
He's a representative of the group.
Who was standing? Of the organization.
Well, look at sub 2 of section 4, George.
They're a member of Common Cause. They want that known.
As a designated representative of the corporation association. That's probably a pretty good addition. What do you think of that?
Representative.
require each group to designate a representative and not exclude the individual members? Would that work? Each group who intends to influence legislation designate a representative of that body, but does not exclude private or individual members of the organization from carrying out activities. What does that sound to you, Dave? Chuck? If he says, I am a member of XYZ, that doesn't mean that he's the official spokesman.
No, but there should be a discrimination. But he should be allowed to identify himself as a member of that group.
And certainly be allowed to speak or call, knock on your door. Chuck points out, are we covered that there is a designated representative of each group? A requirement of each group. But then that leaves any member to go around and appear or knock on doors or whatever, but this is the official spokesman for the group.
I
Okay, let me ask Chuck about Dave or Bill. What is in all this stuff that we left out? You deleted, I don't know how many sections, 2, 5, 8, 10?
8 pages.
You deleted 8 pages, which made it a much better bill, but what did we leave out that should be in there?
Can I go down quickly?
Sure.
I think I can highlight it.
Yeah.
I have a question yet before Chuck goes away. We took out public employees.
Henry, I think he's talking to you.
But what about if we have a group come down here, for instance, the League of Oregon Cities, and they bring, say, Frank Ivins, he's the president of the League of Oregon Cities, and he takes off a couple of days from the city of Portland as a city commissioner, and he's still being paid, and he comes down here and lobbies for city issues. Does he have to file? Okay, but he is representing an organization, the League of Oregon Cities.
They would already have a registered lobbyist.
I kind of gave you two at one time there, but he doesn't have to register as a representative of the city of Portland, but he does as a representative of the League of Oregon City. Yeah.
Well, but somebody is already registered as the lobbyist for the League of Oregon City.
But there could be more than one
person
to register if they
lobby. Yeah, all of X people would have to register. What if a committee calls the mayor of Portland to come down and testify on a bill?
Well, I think it's a different situation when
they
request
it
to come down by
the...
Okay.
Yeah, if he just testifies, that's one thing. What if the mayor of the city of Portland calls me up at home and talks to me for 2 hours on the telephone about a piece of legislation? Then he's lobbying. But not if he comes down to testify. That's the difference, Chuck?
Does this recommended bill exclude them? No. I mean, does it...
That does not change that.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Dave, do you need more time, or... Norma, and the proposed amendment after line 5 says sections 2, 5 to 8 and 10 of this act there. Let's see, that is what I'm looking for. Delete pages 3 through 8 of the proposed bill, which shall be known hereafter while he's here as the Blumenauer bill. As soon as he leaves, we'll call it the
Capital Club Bill.
What's that?
Suggestions as well as something to suggest. On one hand, I don't think that Tom which person is otherwise a lobbyist.
Where would you insert that, Dave?
I would insert it in the sub-1,
above the influence
or attention to
bidirectional
communication. All right, then.
You think that's a better phrase than by arm twisting?
Then, secondly, I would leave in the original word legislation. Legislation the way most, if not all, of the lobby bills would define it. In other words, legislation includes all bills, resolutions, amendments, nominations, and appointments in the proposed in either House or legislature, and all bills and resolutions which have been passed both houses are being approved by government.
I think, what happened to Chuck? I think that's got to be in there because there's so many other things besides measures that we consider. One word covers the whole multitude of sin. Specific wording on that? Okay. Yeah. Well, we adhered to your suggestion that we take out a measure and put in legislation, so. And Eddie. Well, what is 183 point, whatever it was? Okay. Sometimes in the highway commission hearing, and they just get tired and it gets late, and all the farmers get up and say, I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's right. Recommending the language in 2530, or are you recommending the language in the proposed amendment?
Then I would add a new subdivision 5, which is my proposed amendment. bumping in the sense that getting compensated for that service by a person in front of you. Mind you, that's something that should be regulated internally by the legislature and by legislative order. Yeah.
It probably should be in the House rules if it isn't.
I think it's the function of the committee clerk to keep legislators informed and give views and give them strongly. That seems to be what you can for them and lots of them by law.
Carrying House Bill 40, an outsider was even allowed to speak.
No, but you know how that happened. It wasn't by pre-design. It was just because Marv Hollingsworth, in desperation, didn't know the answer, so he asked the unanimous consent to lie on the floor, and the speaker was so stunned that it was allowed. But we had lots of people sitting next to him.
Yeah. Senate Bill 100 on the floor the other day. Hector McPherson was sitting right alongside us.
So he's granted permission on the floor. That's still an internal rule.
The speaker's got to be the boss of the situation. Okay.
The next point is another definition.
Secretary of Home Function to you, or he is the only one that will get
prerequisite, I would assume, in writing this or any other law, is that it can be enforced. And I think we have to keep that in mind. We can get clear out in right field if we're not careful.
Well, I think that's, you know, obviously, it's relevant to your race.
Which one, Dave? By each. we made that form read the name and address of the person or persons by whom the registrant is employed. All right, each person. That's all right. Club directory, they list all the people in there they represent.
Practical. Well, I gather today, except for my, we follow about 100 something specific, and then we follow
Dick?
It would be a lot easier for them to listen to the trial if they have an interesting
period
to first report their trial and then
give it
to
them. What? That's the best suggestion I've heard all night. Now, how can we get this in?
Well, you're
big unhappy family.
I'm not interested in an effort to shackle what truly is a very valuable service that is provided by the lobby. Oftentimes we seek them out and they get involved in things that they're not interested in being involved in because they have extra. What I'm concerned with, and I think the bill ought to be addressed itself with if it isn't in fact, those areas, and I think they are, even with the
listing the generic area sufficient in something like this? Let me put it in a more practical way. If we took this bill to the floor with that in it, I think it would be sent back to committee or else defeated. And I think the purpose is to get the bill into law, if it's a good bill. Be up to the committee to decide. I don't want to beat it anymore. I think we've all made our points. Let's go on to the next one. What question do you want to be asked?
Take care of the herd, the outbreak.
at the same borough? I don't know.
I don't think I'm included in this bill.
I don't think you need to worry about that part of it. I think some way your expense is a lobbyist, so it's not going to be relevant. I don't think you have to worry about that. Okay, let's forage on. Sub 3, do you have any comment on the word estimate?
I think that's desirable. It is stated here exactly.
Well, Peg wants it kind of exact, and Henry observes that they don't get their bills from the watering places often in time to... You'd be satisfied with the estimate until they had the figure.
Yeah. But that was, this was written, I thought, in regard to 30 days after the end of the session. And I was thinking in terms of on a monthly basis, it would could change this section 3 a month. Or subsection
3. I imagine it would be something section 5.
Now,
up here in subsection 1, it says,
if we change this to monthly, you wouldn't worry about this down below, but you think. And then I understood you were blissfully happy with the next section 6.
Well,
then
I thought that we should be more happy with the section
5. Oh! Not that easy. No, you take your time, Dave.
Okay.
We're
going to.
Monthly reporting, we would write it the same. Not as honest. Every 2 weeks, it comes to probably volunteer before I look. Since the section is so short, so much important business is conducted during the short period. Yes, our bill does. The bill says nothing about the form of the disclosure, but our bill would have a tax-free
some of the examples of the country, what they look like. If the legislature
makes it free, the guidance of the animals to administer the phone on the tax-free.
That says the other
legislature
is going to give it
that. Again, this capital subversion has nothing to do with the enforcement process or accommodation for the institution. Next is the technical suggestion on subdivision 2 of section 5. There's no lobbyists who are going to their attempts to do things to official funds. It seems to me there is a potential that they need lobbyists in body. Rather than simply saying, I can even find what lobbying is. What is it not?
important.
Dave, one of your vocal members lives in my community and knows where my office is on Saturday morning. What about him?
Well, if he otherwise needs to get into the lobby, that what he's doing in the lobby.
Well, I think all of us, and certainly Peg and Ed will find out during the intro if they're available.
He's not.
I just put up with him.
Or don't have to.
No, he comes in person. Brings the letter to the editor with him. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to.
The fundamental question is, you know, if you look a lot of these before, whether they make a difference between the two buildings, and it's important to argue about it and to highlight it. This talks about in Section 5 and Subdivision 1, talks only about money expended by the lobby. It doesn't talk about money received by the lobby. And that makes a difference between what's so 25-30 and this kind of place.
How do you handle it over here?
Well, we handle it because the employer of the lobbyist is also an employee of the lobbyist, and therefore that expenditure would show up in the employer.
Unregistered lobbyist. An unregistered lobbyist, then, if the employer of the lobbyist?
Yes, the employer of a registered lobbyist is required also to register with the Office of Civil Rights. That person is not required to register with the Office of Civil Rights. Now, significance is actually great, because if the employer reports, then you have a total amount of money put into the process, expenses and salaries. All of that would be excluded.
Okay.
All that's designed to affect legislation. All of it would be excluded under the capital funding.
Ike has 692 members. All of them are listed. Is that it?
No, only the association.
Only the association.
No, the association is the employer. You can go
okay. What you're trying to get is a balancing out of finances between what Ike says he puts in and what his people report they spent. Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, the amount spent by the lobbyists are not necessarily equivalent to the amount given the lobbyists. Because the lobbyists are making salaries. He's not spending his own salaries. Yeah, well, there's a capital subversion, doesn't it? We would not. And again, I think maybe rather than arguing about it, I can simply highlight it. We feel that the cost of process is a legitimate item from the proposal. And again, on the right, it's a very clear discussion of the first 5 to 10 months. Very clear difference. So, we would, if this were to be in our opinion, before the extended, we would have to
see. I think you ought to be clear on this. There is no version that we want except the good bill, and that's whether it's yours or whether it's his or whether it's 25, 30, Earl's or anybody's. We don't care, just so it's a good bill.
Our view is that a good law should include money spent in the process. Does that necessarily include money which is received by the lobby as well as spent by the lobby? And that problem, I think, is cast in the subsection 3, where it says statements need not include amounts received by the lobby for special living expenses, no matter what income or salary. A major cost in the political process is automatically excluded by the statute. And it makes a very dramatic difference between the first and the second. So long as we're in a
Is that an invasion of privacy?
It's not.
What if it does not agree with what he reports on his income taxes?
Well, that's a matter of the government.
I know.
Dave, in other states that have this type of legislation, do you know if they go into the wages?
They can go both ways. The state of Nebraska excluded from reporting all the income is reporting for the federal state income tax purpose. But other states don't exclude that. I believe that New Jersey is not.
Well, Henry, yeah.
Whose activities include
Well, all they had was pornography.
That's why they're smiling when they come in.
No one's ever witnessed it showed up. The girls, nobody could.
No dancing girls?
No dancing girls. We got representing Texas and the person who take down all those.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Put up some better ones.
Paul Quinn. The first one was whether or not money spent by the lobby is being reported. The second one is whether or not they're excluding from a salary from reporting. The third is itemization of expenditures. Nothing the capital club amendments which require itemization of expenditures. This was brought by the Paul's team and terribly important.
How much itemization? How finite?
Not so 25-30. That's described in section on page 4. Page 5.
You're not a sender yet, George. Okay.
On page 4 and 5, it's broken down into categories.
Okay.
If these categories are relatively meaningless, if they create a new hardship,
okay.
Resources are
that I would expect that there are tremendous variations in the amount of money that are invested in staff from lobby to lobby or various individuals who are professionally managed. And it seems to me that that is crucial if we're going to disclose what these distortions are, that not to do that under this bill would be similar to having political candidates not disclose, you know, what's done for postage and media, you know, just what you do for printing and newspaper advertising. I think on that order of magnitude. Further, in terms of personal living expenses, I think that, well, I've already heard from some of my friends in the lobby that there are some significant variations there, and it probably, in many cases, the amounts of money that are given for personal living expenses are in lieu of direct out of pocket expense. There might be a larger, more commodious apartment that is secured here in Salem. That could well be in lieu of other items that would even be included under the proposed capital amendment. Now, correct me if I'm wrong in either of those terms, but I think it's basically
right. I know that.
He's going to be bargaining for higher wages.
Yeah.
I'm certain the senator did. private life.
Well, we're not going to make this policy decision at this meeting, so, and I think we've aired the subject long enough that we can go on, and I can say, gee, I'm glad you're so blissfully happy with Section 6.
And you can say that in its entirety.
Okay, thank you.
What this basically has done is added to the existing lobbying legislation. One of the problems that the Common Cause discovered when it looked at the administration of the existing lobbying legislation is that in spite of the fact that it's been on the books now for 9 years, no legislative rules have ever been enacted to enforce the lobbying disclosure legislation, except a rule saying you can't be on the House floor in less than 30 minutes to vote. So in other words, there have been no attempts whatsoever to implement the provisions of the law in 9 years it's been on the books. And that's one of the reasons why this certainly is a defect in this technology. There's no enforcement during the whole thing. Generally speaking, I imagine people who let me say this, and I think it's been at the Capitol Club number, that Oregon's lobbyists are interested in terms of self-regulation of ethics kind of violation. And there's a rule of silence, and there's a code of ethics, and especially when you're going to take out a company and get a report, which can affect the unethical behavior of the lobbyists. And appreciate that. And I think we but the thrust of ours is not controlling the ethical behavior. It's the closure.
There was a
we're just going to finish with him, and that's it, and then we're rolling.
Okay, and then two final points here. Two of us, they should have an enforcement official apart from the legislative chamber, even though, of course, legislative assembly, I believe, has some hearing power to promulgate rules and doesn't need a special statute to do so. But with respect to finally to the violation section, Section 10 would only make one minor thing out of all of these prescribed activities that are missing. Now, one can use the criminal law or one might use civil penalties. And if I'm doing that, I'll show 25-30 using three different techniques. But it seems to me that since we have agreement on Section 6, that everything on Section 6 is an unregardable kind of activity, at the very least, Section 6 violations should be included in the that they should not depend upon the legislature then approve the meeting and deciding what kind of sanctions for an imposed violation.
What if we just said violation of this 1973 act is a misdemeanor?
Well, I think that might have a good problem knowing precisely what it is. What is the problem?
Well, Chuck was kind of, that's right, Chuck was kind of worked that out before.
Yeah, I think the section
yeah.
to be identified as deferred.
Yeah, Chuck was going to help us out on that.
But I would certainly say violation of Section 6 in addition to whatever section. But that be determined now rather than putting it off to a later determination on the health care. I'm sorry, go on.
It's all right. No, that's fine. We appreciate that. Are there any questions of Dave? What I would propose to the committee is that next week we will take your amendments and the Capital Club's amendments and take 2930 and just go through the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I know you're probably about it, but the Capital Club is
Dave, I'd appreciate it if you and the Capital Club can reach any further area of agreement besides Section 6.
I will admit to the heroic effort so far, but we won't make any intention to take several of the things that we need.
Can I ask?
Yeah, sure.
Presently, lobbying expenses are business deductions. I mean, talk about the tax law.
We gotta, wait a minute, George. Wait a minute.
If we could separate the two out so that we weren't just being healthy, but for sure we got all the lobby.
Well, the committee will suffer through all these policy decisions. Unless somebody has something exceptionally good to contribute, Granton has an announcement, and then we'll adjourn.
We finished up on this 25-30 and have a complete bill of complete satisfaction of the Senate members and of common cause. And Senator Ripper would prefer, if it was all possible, to set a meeting for Thursday or Friday with the House members, if that's at all possible, to, rather than waiting until Monday to review it, to get you to send it to the House floor and look at it.
Okay. I have meetings every night.
Okay. I told him that would probably be the answer.
Well, our noon session, you know, when we got out today, what was it, 1:45 or 1:50? I'll tell you what we could do, if anybody would agree, it would be a 7 o'clock breakfast.
That could be done.
Yeah.
Friday morning. Well, Friday morning we can report it out.
Would you rather have it Saturday, George?
Monday night.
Monday night.
Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And a Monday night would probably be better.
I'll try to work it out with Jack, but I don't know.
I doubt if we can make it then.
Thanks, Jack.